Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
No, we haven't invaded. No, there has not been an invasion of Ukraine just yet. No, we're good. It's all right, Grace. Don't worry. It's all going to be fine. It's all going to be fine. Welcome, everybody. Just trying to calm everybody down. You know, folks are on edge. Apparently, we are on the brink of World War III. You know, it's interesting about this whole Russia, Ukraine, United States, China, the whole nine. You know, what's very interesting about all of this? There's only one person in the whole bunch that's actually talking about war. And that individual happens to be the president of the United States, Joe Biden. Nobody else is talking about going to war, but Joe Biden seems hell-bent on dragging us all into World War III. But so far, so good. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, folks. It is always, always an honor to have you with us today. Hope you're doing great wherever you might be across the nation. Got a lot of fun stories to talk about today. Great guest, our good buddy Mike Huckabee is going to be here. We are also expecting a live report from Ukraine. Newsmax has two reporters on the ground, so we are efforting that interview. And I think are they 7 hours ahead of us? They're 7 hours ahead of us. So we don't know when that interview is going to come, so it'll be a surprise to all of us. But Grace is going to yell at me, Todd, stop talking. We've got to go to Ukraine. And then we'll go to Ukraine. That's the way that works. So Congressman Pat Fallon, we've got some new information coming from the border, and we're going to bring you up to speed on that as well. Before we get to this New York City mayor nut job story, can I just say, God bless the moms and dads of San Francisco. I never thought in a million years I would say those words. San Francisco is as woke of a city as you will ever find. But it turns out that you can even be too woke for San Francisco. And yesterday, voters went to the polls and they recalled three school board members, the president of the school board, the vice president of the school board, and one of the school board commissioners. All got the heave-ho by vote totals of more than 72%. That is not just a landslide. That is a tsunami. So the parents over in San Francisco, much like the parents in Loudoun County, Virginia, much like the parents in Germantown, Tennessee, finally said, we've had it. Enough with these radical school board policies. Now, the folks in San Francisco have their own set of problems. Not only do they have to deal with these mask mandates and the school closures, but the Asian American community, which is a very significant portion of the population in San Francisco, they have had it. So their kids are being discriminated against because they're putting caps on the numbers of Asian American kids that can be a part of the gifted programs. So a lot of parents were very upset about this. Beyond that, they were also upset with this cancel culture mob. Now, it's our understanding, and we've got the story up at ToddStarnes.com, what, 44 schools had been renamed. So for whatever reason, people took issue with the names of the schools. One of the schools they tried to rename, by the way, was named after Senator Dianne Feinstein. I mean, that shows you how bizarre this cancel culture mob has gotten out there. So they've already renamed a school after Thomas Jefferson High School, gone. Abraham Lincoln High School, gone. And the reason why is they said those schools represented the names of the schools represented a white supremacist in American history. So, yes, according to the mob, the far left mob in San Francisco, Abraham Lincoln was a white supremacist. Are we following this? I mean, it is just insane. Beyond that, there is a beautiful historic mural that was actually created by some sort of a communist, but he was a good artist. I mean, no offense there, but he was a good artist. You know, I don't knock his politics, and he probably wants to send all of us to death camps, but he was a good artist. He wasn't like the guy on PBS. Was that Bob? Is that Bob, the artist on PBS? You know I'm talking. Bob Ross. He wasn't Bob Ross.
Happy little accidents.
But thank you, Grace Baker. Go back to your corner. But it was a good, it was a beautiful mural. It had been around since, what, the 1930s, the public works projects of the Roosevelt administration. That's FDR. And the school over the past couple of years has been very upset about this. People have been demanding that the George Washington mural at George Washington High School be destroyed. And the so the school board voted to destroy this mural. So fortunately, right-thinking people actually got involved in this. Now there's a big court battle, so they haven't torn it down just yet. But all of that led the good people of the good liberal people of San Francisco to say, these people are nuts. They got to go. And so they launched a recall effort. The first recall in San Francisco since 1983, when they tried to give then Mayor Dianne Feinstein the heave-ho, and that effort failed. So it is a fascinating thing that happened. And this should be wall-to-wall national news coverage over what just happened in San Francisco. And that tells me that something big is happening in this country. Something big is going to happen in the midterm elections. Now, you just think about this. The cancel culture mob just got canceled in, of all places, San Francisco. And my thinking here is, if your policies are too woke for San Francisco, there's a good chance you're already a communist. I mean, just remarkable what's happened there. So does this mean that San Francisco is about to go, you know, full-blown MAGA country? No, I don't think so. But it does tell me there is a line in the sand, and it does tell me that a lot of moms and dads who may have been radical liberals, maybe even leftist, when they graduated college, they started having kids, and now they're starting to realize, wow, I was a moron. And now they're starting to come around to the right way of thinking. It happens. So for some people, it happens earlier. But others, it happens later in life. But they realize, you know, that being a Democrat is lunacy. So anyway, good news out in San Francisco, and I suspect we're going to start seeing this in other parts of the country as well. I mean, and we already are. But there is a full-blown uprising, and this was a direct message to the teachers' union. That's where all this is going. So there you go. All right, I got to talk about this mayor in New York City. Eric Adams. So this guy, you know, he had a little bit of promise. Military veteran, police officer, worked his way up through the NYPD, promised to be tough on crime. But this guy is a whiny little, oh, I can't say that word. This guy is, he's real like, I don't know, I'll just leave it at this. He's whiny. But he also has a problem with whitey. So, look, I don't know why he's got a problem with white people, but he doesn't like you people of the Caucasian persuasion at all. So yesterday, Eric Adams went after the New York City press corps. This is somewhat entertaining because most of the reporters in New York City, and by most I mean all, are flaming leftists, except for the ones that work for the New York Post. No, even the New York Daily News is, look, so in New York City, let me explain this for you. In New York City, you've got a lot of different competing newspapers. In most towns, you got one newspaper. New York City, you got a lot. You have the broadsheets, which are the full-blown newspapers that you would see, you know, in your town. And then New York City has the tabloids, which are basically half the size of a broadsheet and are more, you know, sensational. Not as much as they used to be. And you really only have two major ones left. You've got the New York Daily News. Well, you've got three. You've got New York Daily News, New York Post going toe-to-toe It's a brutal journalism war there in the city. And then you've got Newsday, which is out on Long Island. If you watch Everybody Loves Raymond, Raymond Barone used to be a sports writer for Newsday. So a little TV trivia there. So anyway, the New York Daily News is a left-leaning tabloid, and the New York Post is owned by Rupert Murdoch, and that is the more conservative. But there aren't any, like, flaming conservative journalists in the city. So there you go. So Adams is holding a press conference, and he's very upset because there are not enough black reporters working at City Hall. Let's play cut number 10.
I'm a black man. That's the mayor. But my story has been interpreted by people that don't look like me. We got to be honest about that. How many blacks are in the editorial boards? How many blacks are determined how these stories are being written? How many Asians? How many East Indians? How many South Asians? Everybody talks about my government being diversified. What's the diversification in the newsrooms? You're not writing stories for people who are arrested and beat by police officers. You're not writing stories from those who are dealing with high crime. Diversify your newsroom so I can look out and see people that look like me.
So the mayor goes on to say that he may stop taking questions from white reporters. This is hilarious because the liberal reporters don't know what to do. The liberal reporters don't realize that their leftist policies that they've been advocating for have just been thrown right back in their lily white faces. And it is a beautiful thing to see. By the way, this is the same mayor who out on the campaign trail had this to say about all of you people of the honky persuasion.
Every day in the police department, I kicked those crackers' ass, man. I was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. He kicked those crackers' ass. Again, Mr. Mayor, I prefer to be called a saltine American. Thank you very much, sir. But you know what? It's a free country, so if you want to call me the C word, okay. There's just a problem with that. That's my word. You know, the mayor can't use that word. You know, there are certain words that certain groups of people can't use. Well, he can't use that word to describe white folks. He's not allowed to say that word. Nobody has the courage to call the mayor out on that. Well, we just did, but most everybody else, they would be terrified to say what I just said. But if you're going to play that game, America, then let's play that game. So, Mr. Mayor, you should be canceled for saying the C word. And the C word being cracker, saltine American. I'm just saying, folks. So anyway, we've got some more audio to play from Mayor Adams. This is just, it's hilarious, but it's also somewhat disturbing. We did a story, and if you listen to our morning commentaries, and they air on all sorts of radio stations around the country, there is a big controversy at Arizona State University where the theater department did a show called The Color Cabaret. But there was just one color missing from their rainbow. It was the Caucasian color. It was white. No white students were allowed to audition for this musical production. So let's just say you're a musical theater major at Arizona State University and you're white. You were banned, literally banned. According to campus reform, you were banned from auditioning for this show. Would you ever think that you would be in a place in American history where people would be targeted, where people would not be eligible for a job simply based on the color of their skin? Same thing happened at Harvard University. Nike was sponsoring a music program. Only people of color were allowed to participate. No white students were allowed to participate in this music program that was sponsored by Nike on the campus of Harvard University. And so now you have the mayor of New York City coming out and saying, you know what, I just very well may stop taking questions from white reporters, and instead I'm only going to talk to reporters that look like me. Now, what do you think would happen, ladies and gentlemen, if that would have been Donald Trump saying something like that, or George W. Bush? What do you think would have happened? Hey, got to take a break here, and we're going to get to your calls on this. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. And I will say this. I would suspect that most black people in America would be just as outraged, because in all of this critical race theory nonsense, you folks are being portrayed as perpetual victims. And of course, we're being portrayed as perpetual slave owners. I mean, it's appalling what critical race theory and what these woke leftists are doing to our nation right now. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
With the political pressure of the left and the woke mob that is the Democrat Party, our society has ultimately become controlled by the cancel culture elites. Since when have the founders of our Constitution, the American flag, Dr. Seuss, and many other things become anti-American? There's never been a better time in our nation's history to stand up against the woke mob and fight back. And you can do that with this exclusive offer I'm giving to my listeners for a limited time only. Now is your chance to win a signed photo by President Trump himself. That's right, not only will you be taking a stand against the radical left, you'll be entering to win a piece of history. All you have to do is text the word PHOTO to 55404 today to enter. That's PHOTO to 55404. Join me in standing up for President Trump and canceling the radical left once and for all. Paid for by the National Republican Senatorial Committee. Welcome back, everybody. Yeah, look, I don't know why Eric Adams has a problem with white folks. I mean, when you look at the racial makeup of New York City, a lot of white people voted for the guy. I liked his style, his demeanor, what he had to say. But man, the guy's turning out to be to the left of Comrade Bill de Blasio. Hey, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Jerry in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, listening to us on the KWAM app. Hey, Jerry, what's going on?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to point out, or maybe ask a question. Am I the only person that's finding it a little tiresome that people like Eric Adams, who run on the fact that they're African American, and get their job, you know, partially based on the fact that they're African American. And when they get there, then they complain when people criticize them and play the race card. And I'm thinking, you know, Lori Lightfoot in Chicago did the same exact thing, and she said the same thing where she wasn't going to take questions from the white press. And you know, you can't have it both ways. You're either African American, you're going to stick to it, or you're not. And this stuff where they just vacillate back and forth is, I guess, what kind of makes me frustrated. That, you know, what are you trying to pull here? I guess that's my question.
You know, Jerry, Kamala Harris did the same thing. She did an interview a couple of weeks ago, and she was talking about the people who criticized her were only criticizing her because she was a person of color, not her policies. Mm-hmm. It was her skin color they had an issue with.
No, I beg to differ with her as well.
And then, I mean, look, Jerry, go all the way back to Barack Hussein Obama's term in office. He was the campaign messaging was, we are about to usher in the post-racial age in America. That was the whole narrative. And then when Obama got into office, he did everything he could to set back race relations in this country for really generations. And we're suffering today from the policies of Barack Obama when it came to race relations in this country.
Well, now that you mention that, I'm thinking of Eric Holder. Didn't he do the same thing? I mean, it's amazing. There's a pattern here, you know?
It's almost as if, and again, you know, the people need to understand the cold, hard reality that a lot of white people voted for Barack Hussein Obama, not once, but twice, an overwhelming majority. But, Jerry, that in and of itself is now a symptom of racism. So you will literally have, let's say, a black person running for office. They get all these white votes, and the white people who voted him are being called racist now. It's unbelievable. It makes no sense. But that's kind of where we are in the country right now. Jerry, good call. Hey, 844-747-8868. Toll-free telephone number, folks. 844-747-8868. And we welcome black, white, Hispanic. We welcome all here on the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Friends, last year your dollar lost a ton of value. Inflation rose by almost 7% in just 1 month towards the end of the year. That means in 30 days, your dollar became 93 cents. Inflation is a silent killer. It's a hidden tax felt by everyone. And this administration is only making it worse. Inflation is not slowing down. It's escalating quickly. But gold provides a hedge against inflation and can protect your family's wealth. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold and silver. You have to take the threat seriously, friends. Oil prices are rising. We have supply chain issues. All of this going to compound our inflation problems. You can trust Legacy Precious Metals because they give you unbiased counsel based on your personal situation. It's time to be proactive before you regret it and take steps now to protect yourself. Call Legacy Precious Metals. You can speak to an IRA expert at Legacy Precious Metals at 866-528-1903 or download their free investor's guide at legacypminvestments.com. All right, good to have you back with us today, everybody. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Someone sent me a message. Todd, is the mayor of New York City a racist? Look, I don't know the guy's heart. I've never met the guy. And for me to call somebody a racist, they either need to say something that is and have conduct that is flat out racist, or they need to have a history of saying things that are in fact racist. So I am comfortable calling Mayor Eric Adams of New York City a bigot. I have no doubt that given the opportunity, he will discriminate. As a matter of fact, he told those newspaper owners, I want to see more people that look like me at my press briefings. Now, that's all well and good. And let's take the mayor at what he said at face value, that the mayor is tired of taking questions from white news reporters. All right. So let's just say, for the sake of the argument, let's just say that, 60% of New York City would be made up of people of color. All right. So the mayor wants, therefore, 60% of the White House or the City Hall press corps to be made up of journalists of color. Doesn't matter if they're good at their job or not. He just wants to have a person that looks like him asking questions. Talent, ability doesn't matter anymore. It's all about skin color. So if that's the case, Grace Baker, I know that you are we've talked about your love of sports and basketball. There's what, roughly 80% of the NBA is made up of players of color.
Yeah.
At least 80%.
Yeah.
So using the mayor's logic here, I mean, if in fact, he wants to see people that look like him, and we're doing something, we're assigning jobs based on percentages of the population, why would we not do that with sports, for example?
Exactly. Yeah. Goes both ways, right?
I mean, just think about that. I mean, if you want to play that game, okay, mm-hmm. Fine. Let's play that game. And the NFL, there's a big argument. So the NFL, what, 75% players of color in the NFL?
Roughly.
Yeah. I'm sure we've got those. Somebody's done those breakdowns. So, okay. So now they're saying, even though that 75% of the players in the NFL are black or a person of color, that's not good enough. Because now they're saying that the NFL is just racist because they've got all these players working for white owners and being coached by white coaches. Therefore, they're just on the plantation. I mean, they have described some of these football organizations of being like slave owners.
Yes.
It's mind-blowing. But this is the mentality. It doesn't matter that those football players are making tens of millions of dollars.
No.
That doesn't matter. Doesn't matter that everybody got a free education. Doesn't matter. I was watching a movie last night, Grace Baker. I love sports movies, sports theme movies.
Mm-hmm.
The Kurt Warner, Kurt Warner movie that came out. It's an awesome movie. But there's another sports movie that came out, and
it was American Underdog.
American Underdog.
Yes.
All right, just jump in there. So there's another movie that came out. It's called National Championship, I believe. I came in last night. I had a couple of things to do. I needed a wind down, and so I just flipped on, and that movie was now available on iTunes for purchase. So I thought, you know, I'll just sit down and watch this movie. And it was a fictionalized account of a – it's called National Champions. And J.K. Simmons is stars in it. I'm a big fan of his. Great guy.
Oh, yeah. He's awesome.
And is he the guy in the insurance commercials, too?
I guess
the,
so.
State Farm commercials.
From Spider-Man.
And he played the editor
in
Spider-Man. But anyway, a great lineup. So the whole premise is national championship. The 2 days before the national championship college football game, the players decide they're not going to play because they want to be paid.
Oh.
And the argument was, okay, wait a second. So you're getting a free education. You're getting great accommodations. You're being placed on a huge platform, and that's not good enough for you. You want to be paid. And what they did, and I thought it was an interesting movie, not mm-hmm. happy about the ending. That was kind of weird. I don't want to give it away for people. But I thought that was a letdown. But the argument they made was that this, again, is a racial – it was all based on race. That white owners, white coaches make the money, and therefore the players are slaves. It was just in your face.
You could come up with a much better argument than that.
Yes, but the broader point. I thought this is a great point. I never really thought about it like this. But if you were going to pay college athletes, if you're going to say, okay, we're going to pay all of you college football players, guess what? You got to pay all the college athletes. If you got a college lacrosse team, you got a girls basketball team. You got to pay all those kids. That is not a sustainable platform. So what's going to happen? If that ever happens, and there is a movement. I mean, that was the whole point of the movie, by the way. Somebody wanted to get that out there.
Sure.
And it was almost as if it was a documentary. It was interesting. I was intrigued by the concept, but it was just in your face. It was as if the union commissioned this film to be made. So they want college players to be, you know, to be paid. They want them to be able to have collective bargaining. Can you imagine that? A bunch of 18-year-olds, no life experience.
Might be a little chaotic.
All that to say, going back to the mayor here, and the point being, that if you are going to start playing that kind of a game where you're only going to take questions from people that look like you, is it too much of a stretch to wonder, okay, does that mean he's only going to hire people that look like me?
Yeah.
Is he only going to fix the problems in neighborhoods where the people look like him? I mean, where do you draw the line?
Where does it stop?
You become a mayor for all the people or just your people?
Exactly.
I mean, you got a choice, and it looks like, at least in New York City, the mayor has made his choice. And I think that's sad.
It's very sad.
But again, I go back to, and here in Memphis, Tennessee, where we broadcast this program, we have a very large, and I would say affluent, black middle class. And I think the Republican Party needs to do a better job of reaching out to those folks, because they're hurting. And the policies of the Democrats are hurting those folks. The policies of critical race theory that are being shoved into classrooms. And by the way, there's a school in Memphis, Tennessee, one of six around the nation, where they are implementing a critical race theory course, Advanced Placement African American Studies. So they're now taking critical race theory concepts. They're renaming them. They think you guys are not smart enough to figure that out. And they're calling it something else, and they're putting it literally into the curriculum of a high school here in Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah. They think that people won't figure that out.
No, they won't.
They will.
And people are smart about that. But again,
oh, yeah.
I think the Republicans have to do a better job.
Agreed.
Of saying, hey, we're a big tent party. We're the party that brought you the Civil Rights Act. We're the party that stood alongside Black Americans during the Civil Rights Movement when other parties, the Democrat Party, was literally turning fire hoses on Black school children on the streets of Birmingham, Alabama. Republicans have to do a better job of communicating that message. All right, 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now more than ever, it's important to support companies and organizations that share our values. Patriot Mobile, a good friend of this program, they are America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They share our beliefs. They support organizations that fight for causes we care about. And that's why I want to encourage you to switch to Patriot Mobile right now. If you use my name, Todd, as the promo code, they're going to give you free activation and a free gift. Patriot Mobile has incredible nationwide coverage, and they have more discounts for veterans and first responders. Super easy to switch over. All you need to do, go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. Or you can call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. And be sure to use the promo code Todd. 844-747-8868. Our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He created the Giza Dream Bed Sheets. They look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep for folks like me. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. Now, Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you're going to get 60% off the Giza Dream Sheets that come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. You will also receive a set for as low as $39.99. For a limited time with any purchase, you also get Mike's soft cover book free when you use the promo code STARNES. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use the promo code STARNES. Along with this offer, you're also going to get some deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the mattress topper and the towel sets. Call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNES or go to MyPillow.com/STARNES and use the promo code STARNES. All right, folks, good to have you back with us. Let's get to the phones. Our great affiliate in Chattanooga, Tennessee, 96.9 Nuga Radio. Our good buddy Mike is back with us. Mike, it's been a while. Hope you're doing good out on the eastern side of the state.
Yes, I am, Todd. Great to talk to you, buddy. You sound great as ever. On the Republican issue, the Tennessee Republican Party changed their rules. If you don't vote in a primary for three solid primaries, you can't run as a Republican yet. You, as a Democrat, can vote in the Republican primary. Are these people crazy?
Well, yeah, look, there is a lot of chaos and stupidity going on in the Republican Party. We've got to get that figured out. And this situation in Middle Tennessee, where Trump has come in, he's endorsed a candidate for Congress. There was already a so-called MAGA candidate running, when in fact both of them are fairly new transplants to the area, and there are actually plenty of good, rock-solid conservatives that were thinking about running.
Yeah, well, the Republican Party, basically, they've turned into Democrats. The only difference is degrees and one philosophy on killing unborn children. Other than that, I don't see much of a difference. You know, there really needs to be, and Trump could have done it, start another party, because they're not going to fix the tools. You can't fix socialism. These people are out of control. Let me have a sneak critical race theory in. They don't do it overtly. Little Black Johnny has three apples. Little White Susie has two peaches. That's how they do it. These are manipulative Marxist brainwashers. They are dangerous. And we have to let people know, you have to find a way now. 18% Hamilton County is up in homeschooling. To not fix socialism, get rid of it. We need free enterprise education. In Hamilton County, they steal $500 million in property taxes and give it to these socialist thugs. That money should be bid on 50 private educators, and they will determine the curriculum, and you determine whether you send your child there, and then they compensate.
Well, and Mike, I hate to do this. We have a horrible phone signal, and my apologies about that. I think to your point, this fight over critical race theory is going to have to happen in every single town and community, no matter how big or how small. We're going to be fighting this battle, no doubt about it. I want to share a poll with you. This coming out of Politico and Morning Consult, it was released earlier today. According to their polling data, a slim majority of Republicans now say the Republican Party should move on from President Trump and his beliefs about the 2020 presidential election. 23% said the Republican Party should continue to focus on President Trump's claims of fraud in the 2020 presidential election. 64% say it is time to move on. Another 13% said we don't know, or they don't have any opinion at all. Even Republicans said the party should move on by a wide 13-point margin. 50.2% say the Republican Party should move on and should not dwell on the 2020 race. What say you? Is that a believable poll? Are you, as a Republican voter, are you, as a Trump voter, ready to move forward and focus on 2024 and not relitigate 2020? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. It's got to be a positive message. And by that, I'm saying, look, don't ignore what happened. But if you are going to run for office, there has to be a message of hope. You have to tell people, you know what? You elect me, we're going to fix what's broken about the election process. We're going to fix that for you. That is a positive, affirming message. But if you're going to get out there and your campaign slogan is, They stole the election from us in 2020. I don't know if that's a winning message. Let's go to the phones here in Boston. Connor on the line. Connor, what's going on?
Todd, I'll tell you, that just got me fired up, what you just said right there. You know, it's like, I think a lot of Republicans are just ready to move on from the Republican Party, quite frankly, for the way it stands right now. They want candidates who are going to run, who are going to focus on the small man in America. They want to focus on the middle class. They want to focus on, you know, making sure that we are upholding our American values as a country, not these rhinos out there who just want to go up there and sell us a bill of goods and come back and look for our vote once the election year. I think the American people would like it if there was a way where we could remove, as a party, these rhino Republicans without having to go through, you know, waiting for Congress to do it for us when they're not going to fulfill their end of the bargain. I think a lot of Republicans would like to see something like that.
But Connor, sure. here's the challenge, and maybe this is a fatal flaw with the Republican Party. It never was meant to be the party of the middle class. I mean, we were talking about a party that represented the upper middle class, that represented the wealthy, that represented big business, the chambers of commerce. So there has been a shift, and that shift started back in the 1970s when Ronald Reagan came to power and eventually became president. That's when you started having, you know, the evangelicals, the church-going crowd. You had mom-and-pop business owners jumping in and becoming, you know, members of the party. So there has been a culture shift. But as far as the foundational beliefs of the party, I think that's the issue.
And yeah, no, exactly. And I think really, like, as a party, as our, you know, when we're moving forward, we need to figure out some way where we can remove the Mitch McConnells, we can remove the Mitt Romneys, just strip them of that Republican title. Because quite frankly, having those folks out there, they're no help to the party at all. they're no help into unifying the party. They're just going to divide the party, and they're just going to hand the election to the Democrats. So
and you see, Connor, and that's you're right. But they're saying the same thing about people like you. And that is my concern. We talked about this New York Times piece was published Sunday, where you have Mitch McConnell leading an effort right now to take out every Trump-endorsed candidate that's running for Congress. I mean, this is a big deal. And we may not want to call it a civil war, but Connor, it's a civil war.
They just don't understand the average American Republican voter. It just shows you just how out of touch they are with the base. It's just unfortunate. And they're the reason why, you know, if Republicans do lose the midterms, it'll be because of them.
No doubt.
These rhino Republicans.
Yeah. Yep. No doubt about it. Connor, we got to run here. We're up against a break. God bless you. Good hearing from you. That's Connor from Boston. A lot of you folks listening to us on the app, I want to encourage you to go to our website, click on the live show block, and you will be able to download that app. Compliments of our friends at KWAM Radio. Or you can just go to themighty990.com and download the KWAM app there, and you'll be able to listen to us wherever you are across America. Hang tight, everybody. If you're on hold, we're going to come right back to you. With the political pressure of the left and the woke mob that is the Democrat Party, our society has ultimately become controlled by the cancel culture elites. Since when have the founders of our Constitution, the American flag, Dr. Seuss, and many other things become anti-American? There's never been a better time in our nation's history to stand up against the woke mob and fight back. And you can do that with this exclusive offer I'm giving to my listeners for a limited time only. Now is your chance to win a signed photo by President Trump himself. That's right. Not only will you be taking a stand against the radical left, you'll be entering to win a piece of history. All you have to do is text the word photo to 55404 today to enter. That's photo to 55404. Join me in standing up for President Trump and canceling the radical left once and for all. Paid for by the National Republican Senatorial Committee.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I really got concerned after watching the president's briefing yesterday. He was addressing reporters, trying to shove the United States and Russia into a world war. But while he was doing all of that, he made a reference to an incident back when he was a local city council person. And it dawned on me after I heard what the president said, it dawned on me why the dogs that the Bidens own are just ill-tempered. Quite frankly, I would be ill-tempered, too, if the guy that was feeding me my kibbles and bits every day admitted to doing something like this.
I got a call one night. A woman said to me, obviously not of the same persuasion as I was politically, called me and said, there's a dead dog on my lawn. And I said, yes, ma'am. I said, have you called the county? He said, yes, they're not here. And I said, well, I'll get him in the morning. She said, I want it removed now. I pay your salary. So I went over. I picked it up. She said, I want it out of my front yard. I put it on her doorstep.
And you notice there were some gasps. They're like, what, you did what? They were applauding because they thought that he was actually going above and beyond and taking care of the problem and not taunting this woman by putting a dead dog on her doorstep. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why I believe the Biden family dogs are going around biting everybody over at the White House. I'm just saying, maybe our next guest has a thought on this. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. He is the host of the number one show on TBN. Huckabee is the name of the show. Governor Mike Huckabee. Hey, Gov, how's it going?
Todd, going great. You know, this story I'm finding interesting, and I got to tell you a little background. Probably 40 years ago, I heard that very story told as a joke, and I've heard it through the years. And so it's an old joke about an elected official saying somebody called and said there was a dog in their yard, come get it. And they go over, I've not heard it exactly that they put it on the doorstep, but similar story. So I think what Joe was doing was telling this old joke. The problem was Joe, like he typically does, plagiarized the story. He didn't say, hey, there's a story about a guy, and then try to make an application. He tells this stuff as if it actually happened to him, which it most certainly didn't, any more than him having a chain fight with Corn Pop or somehow graduating first in his class at law school and going on a full scholarship, all of which were lies.
And trying out for the NFL. So
exactly. I mean, this is a guy who is a serial plagiarist. And in this case, my guess is he may actually think that when he tells a joke, it became a part of his own personal history.
Oh, my
God. So maybe
God.
He believes this happened.
That's...
But no, it didn't.
Oh, wow.
It's an old joke.
You know, I don't get it with this guy. And you know the Democrats see all this, and they've got to be shaking in their boots, Governor. They know what's about to happen if they don't get a handle on this.
Well, I mean, this is the guy that calls somebody a lying, dog-faced pony soldier. And the rest of America is still trying to figure out what the heck that means.
That's true.
So these things kind of pop out of his mind like brain flatulence, which is the nicer way of saying what I would have said. And I just don't think that Joe is cognizant of what reality is versus what something that he has maybe said. Who knows? He may have told this joke 40 years ago. As I say, it's an old joke. It's not new, because I heard it years ago. And yet when he tells it, he told it as if it really happened and as if he was the actual subject in the story. That's where he gets himself in so much trouble. He just makes stuff up as if it really happened to him. So the next thing you know, he won an Oscar for a movie role he played. He invented the electric car. He was one of the astronauts that walked on the moon. There's no limit to what Joe has done. We just don't know about it yet.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, our good friend Governor Mike Huckabee shedding some light on the crazy dead dog at the doorstep story. Governor, moving on from there, interesting survey done. A majority of Democrats in this poll want Hillary Clinton investigated for her involvement in this Russia hoax. This is the story that nobody in the mainstream media is covering. And as you pointed out in a tweet, by nobody, you mean nobody.
Right. Todd, there's no story that is more explosive, significant, and that could have greater impact on this country in my lifetime than this one. This eclipses Watergate by a lot, because in Watergate, what you had was one political campaign doing dirty tricks to another one. It involved people at the White House, but it was limited to one campaign. And once the election was over, then the dirty deeds basically stopped. What you have here is that you have an administration in power using all of its resources, not just the resources of the White House and its political operatives, but the DOJ, the FBI, the CIA, as well as private contractors and the other campaign, including the White House, all the way to the Oval Office, who basically were colluding to create not only a lie about Donald Trump and the Russians, but even after he was elected, actually spied on the sitting president of the United States by tapping into his phones and into his internet capacity. This is, I mean, how anyone in the press can say, yeah, I'm not really interested. I don't know if you saw what the New York Times said. Their response was, well, this story is so very difficult and tedious that we think that our readers would find it mentally challenging for them to understand just how complicated it is. So that's why we haven't covered it. In other words, our readers are stupid, knuckle-dragging goons, and there's no way that they would understand a story like this. That's what they basically said about their own readers.
Meanwhile, you've got Hillary out there, and she's starting to make some moves. She's speaking to the New York State Democrat Party. A lot of rumblings that she may be getting ready to jump back in here. Got any take on what's going on as far as movements? And we by the way, Biden still hasn't named his pick for the Supreme Court.
No, he hasn't. Of course, he's already now limited himself to a black female. The trouble with that is he's got to follow through. But now the person who gets nominated by him for that role is going to say, I wasn't picked because I was the best lawyer, the best potential judge. I was picked because I met criteria that was only met by less than 7% of the American lawyers, not just the American population, by the American attorneys in the entire country. And therefore, was it because I was a great jurist, or was it simply because I had the right skin pigmentation and the right gender?
Well, that's a fair point. The New York City mayor, Eric Adams, came out yesterday. He's very upset because the press corps in New York City is overwhelmingly white, and he's demanding that newspaper editors send black reporters to City Hall. He said he wants to see more reporters that look like him.
Yeah, you know, I found that interesting because in one sense, he's right. The press corps, for all their talk about diversity and inclusion, it's one of the most, or I should say, one of the least diverse groups of people in the entire country. So when they brag about how they stand for diversity and inclusivity, no, they don't. They're basically a bunch of white people, usually young, liberal white people. So he's got a point. But the other side of that is, since when does it matter what color the reporter is if they do the jobs right? I don't care what color a person is when they're doing a job. I could care less. If it's a surgeon who's operating on me, do I care whether that guy is black, white, male, or female? No, I don't. I want them to be a competent surgeon who has done this operation successfully many times before, and I'll take that any day over somebody who, quote, looks like me. I don't want them to look like me. I want them to look a heck of a lot better than me. It's not a real high bar to clear, by the way, Todd.
And by the way, Governor, we gotta have the mayor's gotta stop using the C word. He can't be calling us crackers. We're saltine Americans.
Todd, only you could come up with that one, and I love it. I love it.
All right, Governor, what's coming up this weekend on Huckabee?
We've got a wonderful segment with Peter Schweiker, who has this brand new explosive book about the Biden connections to China. And here's what I love about Peter Schweiker's books. He documents everything. There are no anonymous sources, none at all. 1,100 footnotes. So no one has ever been able to say, that was scurrilous. Nah, we can prove that's not true. They will try to ignore his books, but they can't refute what he puts in them. And then our musical guest is going to be great for us baby boomers. Peter Noon from Herman's Hermits is back with us again. And, oh, my, what a great time we had with him.
All right. That's coming up this weekend, folks. We have links to all the governor's platforms over at toddstearns.com. Governor, good having you on the show today.
To my fellow saltine American, I say thank you.
All right, Governor Mike Huckabee, everybody. Wow, we've got to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got James in Georgia, Mike in Oregon, Steve in North Carolina, James in Arkansas. We have two lines open if you want to get in on the action, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
All right, folks, hope you're starting to pack your bag. CPAC is just around the corner. We really are looking forward to broadcasting the show down there. Love for you to drop by and say hello to us on Radio Row. Grace will be there and Kyle. So you'll be able to meet the whole team, and I'll be giving a speech on Saturday. Hopefully you'll want to stick around for that as well. As promised, let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Let's start off with Mike in Oregon, listening to us on KYKN. Hey, Mike, what's going on?
Oh, it's pretty good, Todd. How about you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
Yeah. I think that, you know, it is time for the Republicans to move on, but don't forget how we got shafted by the Democrats in the process.
What do you mean by that? How do you recommend the president move on? What should that look like?
Well, I think he needs to focus on the events of the day, you know, how he's going to correct them, you know, if at all possible, or what he would like to do to, like, the Russian situation. You know, how are we going to basically keep ourselves out of a shooting war with the Russians?
Well, and that's a great question, especially when it looks like Biden is trying to shove us into a shooting war with the with the Russians.
And I'm a former Marine, so I'm used to being outnumbered. But
I know I hear you. What was it that was it Chesty Puller that said, you know, we've got them right where we want them?
Yeah, that's right. He said that at Incheon during the Korean War.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And do you know where the term cracker came from?
I've heard various stories about that, but I'm curious to hear your take out in Oregon.
Well, it came from the Civil War.
Is that right?
Yeah, the plantation owners with their whips.
And that's what, you know, I've heard that, actually I have heard that as one version of how the term cracker and with the crack of the whip came about.
Well, being a history major, I kind of,
Mike,
so I was a history major in college. So,
well, Mike, God bless you, sir, and thank you for calling. Thank you for serving our great nation too, and we honor you on this program. We love all of our veterans and first responders, and especially our truck drivers. By the way, the rumblings are that there is going to be some sort of a convoy across America. I've seen some postings on that. When we get all that information firmed up, we'll share that information with you. But that would be great to see what's happening north of the border happen right here in the United States of America. All right, let's go to James listening to us on WDUN in Georgia. Hi, James. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good, great. I just let me give you a couple of side bits. I can't believe that Mr. Huckabee hadn't heard that Joe invented the internet.
That's true. Now,
and
don't
to kill
take
a mockingbird.
Now don't.
One of the greatest.
Now, James, don't take away. Don't take away Al Gore's one contribution to society.
Yeah, you got a point there.
All right, to kill a mockingbird.
One of the greatest novels of all time. And for them to, I mean, if anything, they uphold anti-racism. And the movie, Gregory Peck, you know, awesome movie, one of the greats. But what I say, you know, time, as we know it, is dated B.C. before Christ and A.D. after his death. I believe America is going to go down and be remembered as BB before Biden and AB after Biden.
Oh, well, you think it's that bad?
I don't think we'll ever be the same.
You don't think so? Why do you say that, James?
Well, the way the election went last time, it's just going to be a miracle if the Republicans, if they don't start growing some backbones in some cases, don't stand up and quit being pushed around. So the only thing better than Hillary being beaten once by Trump would be beaten twice by Trump.
And that could very well happen, by the way.
Yeah.
So do not underestimate her push, her desire to want to be president of the United States, even if she has to be in a wheelchair. And there are some reports out there, by the way, that during that campaign,
she can roll around with Joe.
Well, in 2016, they're saying that she could barely walk through most of that campaign.
Yeah.
I mean, she was going through some sort of a weird medical problem. So anyway, James, appreciate the call, sir. And God bless you. Thank you for listening to us. Let's go to Stephen in North Carolina, WSIC. Hi, Stephen.
Hey, Todd. How you doing, bud? First time caller.
Welcome.
Thank you, Todd. Hey, just touching back on what you said in that last segment about the last election, Trump's picks or said picks that a lot of us are disagreeing with, and I'm not for sure who's, you know, consulting, but he really needs to take a look at that. We all know that the last election was definitely stolen, but there's not much that we can do about it. Things have actually to move on. Everything that is focus or attention on the up and coming election. We need to start at ground level, grassroots. And I think a lot is being done now, but we need to focus in those areas. And we need to try to, learn and move on from that last election. If we don't, it's going to be like an anchor. And it's going to all pull us down.
Stephen, that is a good word to wrap up this segment. And I want you to give us a call back. I mean, now you've done your inaugural call and did a great job. So give us a holler back one of these days. All right, folks, got to take a quick break here. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free number. We'll be right back, America.
At the Home Depot, we have Black Friday savings all through November. And with that comes a joyful holiday bustle that we just love to hear. Although we also love the sound that comes after the holidays. When people put their new tools to use. In fact, we love it so much. When you buy select Milwaukee M18 kits, you'll get an extra tool for free. So after you're done filling the air with holiday magic, you can fill it with the sounds of doing. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
All right, good to have you with us today, folks. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We're broadcasting from our beautiful studios here at the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It is 70 degrees outside, Grace Maker. Severe weather tonight, and then it's going to be like in the 20s.
Yep, that's Memphis for you. Memphis, if you don't like the weather, stay 5 minutes because it'll probably change.
It's hard to figure out. You want to wear a sweater? You want to wear, you know, a short sleeve shirt?
My solution is layers. That's all I can do.
Well, I'm with you. All right. Hey, folks, I want to invite you to check out a great organization, AMAC. I'm one of their newest members. Over 2 million other conservatives now members of AMAC. You've got to be 50 years or older. So, Grace, you're going to have to hold on a couple of years. But they have some incredible discounts, and that's what I'm a big fan of. They've got the discounts if you're going to the movie theater, you're going to a hotel or traveling somewhere, you're going to a restaurant. Oh, by the way, Grace went to a new Italian place last night in town. It's new for me.
Oh, okay.
Amerigo's.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard of that?
Oh, I've been there.
Great, great restaurant.
It's pretty good.
And the president of Mid-America Seminary and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And a great, great guy, Lance Walker, and his wife, Terry. They are nationally known auctioneers based here in Memphis. And we've got to see them in action.
Oh, yeah.
They're a lot of fun.
They're so nice and mild-mannered, and then they just go into their auctioneer mode, and you're like, whoa, where did that come from?
They're like, hi, Todd, how are you?
Oh,
but I want
to get one.
It's just like, whoa, what just happened here? But they make it so much fun. That was one of the best auctions I've ever been to.
Oh, it was fun.
Just a lot of fun. And then Dr. Jim Whitmire, who was the longtime minister of music at Bellevue Baptist Church. So all those guys and their wives invited me out to dinner last night. They bought me a dinner.
Nice.
I like that. It was a good meal, too.
Free food tastes even better.
Well, you've got that right. So all that to say, I don't even know if we could have gotten an AMAC discount at Amerigo's. All that to say, you need to check out AMAC, and they've got a page just for our listeners, amac.us/Starnes. That's amac.us/Starnes. You're going to be able to join, start your discounts, and the best part of it all, AMAC fights for us in Washington, D.C., and Lord knows we need somebody to do that. So be sure to check out amac.us/Starnes. All right, real quick, let's go to the phone lines here. James in Arkansas wants to weigh in. James, I understand you're frustrated with Republicans.
That's to put it mildly, Todd. Let me tell you, you know, in my opinion, all the Republicans that represent us or claim to represent us here in the state of Arkansas, I put them about one step above Bill Clinton.
Oh, wow. And, that's
and here's why. All right. Now, you talked about the Republicans moving on from the 2020 election. And Tom Cotton and French Hill were very quick to move on from the 2020 election. And the problem is the Democrats and the Republicans, I still say every day they just slap each other on the back and say, let's go get a drink somewhere, because that's the relationship they probably truly have. But the reason they want to move on from the election is because the politicians are scared. They are terrified to let the American people know that the election was truly stolen and all the shenanigans that went on. And they're afraid the American people will find out and either just stop going to the polls and voting, or everybody will get their pitchforks out and it's time for a change. And I told Tom Cotton, I called his office, and I called French Hill's office, and I told them, don't ever expect to win with my vote again, because you will never have it, ever. Apparently, the only thing Tom Cotton learned when he was in the military is retreat. And I don't mean lowering of the colors at sunset, because he just walked away from Donald Trump and just let it all go. And John Roberts, the chief Supreme Court judge, I put him right below Bill Clinton, because he wants to claim he's a conservative, but he's not a conservative. He votes with the liberals. And I actually heard a story, and I don't remember where the story came from, that one of the law clerks was outside of the Supreme Court and heard the justices arguing inside about the election. And John Roberts made the comment, well, you know, they weren't rioting in the streets in 2000, so we just got to let this go.
Well, look, James, there's a lot to unravel there. And it seems to me that the Republican Party, and I would say all of us, whether you be a rhino, an establishment Republican, a conservative, I think all of us really did a poor job of framing and explaining what happened in the 2020 election. It's been all over the place. And there needed to be a unified voice saying, okay, here's what we believe happened. We believe the election was stolen. We believe this is how it was stolen. Clearly, they do not have the rock-solid evidence to overturn anything right now. They just don't. But what they could have done is say, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're gonna make this a campaign issue. We're going to say in 2024, yes, the election was stolen, and here's how we can fix that. Here's how we can stop that from happening again. But, again, it's going to take – James, it's a tricky thing, because we saw what happened – in the state of Georgia, where you had all these people, Republicans, who did not get out to vote because they did not feel like their votes would have counted.
Well, Todd, honestly, I'm not sure that everybody's vote does count, because when you can take five swing states and the polling machines go down simultaneously in all five states and Trump's ahead, and then when they come back up, Joe's winning, I'm sorry, I don't buy it. And I also don't buy that Joe Biden got more votes than Barack Obama. Sorry.
No, I don't either. No, nobody believes that. Not even the liberals believe that. I mean, geez, hello. Come on.
Well, you all know, right. It's like the little cartoon I see every day in the news. Yesterday, I think it was a rhino dressed up in a suit. And on one side of his shoulder, it said, "We the people." And on the other side, it had a donkey kind of like Satan saying, "Don't listen to them."
There you go. James, appreciate the call. Thank you, sir. Thank you for listening. James makes some good points there. We don't talk a lot about crime news on this radio program, but I want to talk about this Bob Saget case. You know, the guy, the dad from Full House. Grace, that was your show growing up, wasn't it? The Full House? Oh, that wasn't your show. Whose show was it?
Not mine.
Oh, I thought you watched that.
I watched Friends.
Okay, that's
Seinfeld.
No, that's Full House. So Bob Saget's the guy. He's the dad,
right? I know who he is.
So the original story was he was in Orlando for... Oh, we're not staying at that hotel, are we?
Oh, gosh, I hope not.
No, we're not. It's the Ritz-Carlton. Sorry. You don't want to stay in the room where Bob Saget bit the big one. So Bob Saget was in Orlando for he was doing a comedy show. I guess he's on tour. And he was staying at the Ritz-Carlton. And I've actually stayed at that hotel. It's a very nice hotel, by the way. So Saget, the story is that they found him in his bed, and he was dead. And so the original thought was he had had some sort of a stroke. Maybe he had a heart attack. The original autopsy showed no signs of drugs or anything like that in his system. No alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
But now the autopsy report has come out, and the family wants all of this kept quiet. They don't want anything else released to the public. So according to the autopsy, that it appeared that he died from a significant blow to the back of his head. And this was not just like hitting somebody with a baseball bat, folks. It's like somebody fractured his skull. The skull was fractured in several places. There was bleeding across both sides of his brain. This was a massive wallop to his head. Now, the autopsy, the coroner is suggesting, well, maybe he fell on his way to the bathroom. This all sounds very strange to me. This was not some sort of a bump of the head. This was a massive head injury. According to the coroner, Mr. Saget suffered an unwitnessed fall backwards and struck the posterior aspect of his head. Now, how hard do you have to land on the ground to literally fracture your entire skull? And there was one thought process is if you hit the skull in one spot at just the right spot, it could crack all the way from the back to the front, just like an egg. According to the New York Times, the injury that he had would have likely left him confused, if not unconscious. Neurosurgeons said it would be unusual for a typical fall to cause that kind of damage. So he had fractures to the back of the skull, to the right side of the skull, and the front of the skull. The doctor said the injuries appeared more reminiscent of one suffered by people who fall from a considerable height or get thrown from their seat in a car crash. The autopsy found no other injuries to other parts of Mr. Saget's body, which would have been expected in a fall from a building. So the medical examiner has ruled the death accidental. The sheriff's department previously said there were no signs of foul play. But a neurosurgeon said this is a significant trauma. This is something you would find with a baseball bat to the head or someone who has fallen 20 to 30 feet. So the question is, was Bob Saget murdered? I mean, did somebody slip into that hotel room and beat him to death? A lot of people are starting to ask questions. So now Bob Saget's family has filed a lawsuit, and they want to block the release of any records. Now you've got all these news organizations like TMZ and The Hollywood Reporter. Everybody's wanting to know what the heck is going on here. This is not making any sense at all, and it doesn't make any sense. But the family says that they, and I'm going to read this, the lawsuit, they filed the lawsuit. They say plaintiffs will suffer irreparable harm in the form of extreme mental anguish, pain, and emotional distress if the defendants release the records. So whatever's in there, they don't want you to see. They don't want you to know about. And again, we're not related to Bob Saget, but still he's a public figure, and you would like to know what's really going on here. Because it's clearly whatever they said happened did not happen the way they said it happened. So now, just a few moments ago, the Orange County Sheriff's Office there in Florida, they have issued a response to the widow of Bob Saget. And they're saying, hey, look, the public has a right to know. Now, normally in these cases, the Sheriff's Department sides with the family. But not in this case. So the headline from People Magazine, Sheriff's Office responds to lawsuit. They say the public has a right to know about the investigation into Bob Saget's death. He was apparently traveling by himself, too. So it's all very strange, is it not? So what happened to Bob Saget? Well, sooner or later, somebody will figure this out. But it certainly sounds like something more. You know, originally they thought it was COVID. But it wasn't COVID. Unless COVID causes your skull to fracture, and then we're all going to have major problems. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Very strange story. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
If you love to travel, you love cool experiences, I think you're going to love Viator. If you haven't heard, Viator is the world's leading travel experience marketplace. They've got everything from simple tours to extreme adventures, all the cool and interesting stuff in between as well. Well, this year, my wife and kids are making one of my bucket list trips come true. We're going to Sun Valley. So we're going to fly to Sun Valley, and I tell you, the thought of bringing skis, poles, boots, snowboards, everything, overwhelming. But that's where Viator came in. They made this incredibly easy. I just opened the Viator app, searched Sun Valley, and boom, Viator arranges a first-class experience, custom ski, snowboard, and boot fittings and tickets delivered right to the condo. It's pretty amazing. Experiences are what we love most about travel. They create these long-lasting moments and make memories that will last a lifetime. Just download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking. One app, over 300,000 experiences you'll remember. Do more with Viator.
Oh, Grace. This is fascinating. Disney World is going to develop residential communities across the United States.
Okay.
So, you know, they did this in Florida years ago. They actually created a town from scratch, a Celebration, Florida.
I remember that. It didn't go so well.
Now they're going to launch these residential communities all over America. And they're going to be aimed for the 55 and up crowd. The first 24-acre development is going to be in Rancho Mirage, California. And they say Disney says they're going to move beyond storytelling into story living.
Oh.
I'm not sure what that means. Are they going to, like, really, like, reenact Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs?
I don't know.
We're going to have little midgets running around Rancho Mirage?
I will say I've stayed at, like, a Disney World hotel, and it was very nice.
Really?
Yes.
You see,
They know hospitality, man.
Are you sure it was Disney?
It was Disney World.
It was Disney World. Are you sure? All right. You see, I was at Disneyland in California. I was speaking at an event there. That's the only reason I was there. And the event was at the Grand Californian, which was their sort of their big resort hotel. And then it's right off of there. You have that Main Street Disney where they have the restaurants where you get the hamburgers that cost $25. And the food was not all that great. It was just mass. Everything was mass produced.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think it was all that enjoyable. But
Fair
maybe
enough.
That was just me.
I've heard Disney World most people think is better.
Okay. Well,
that's
maybe.
That's the only one I've been to.
I haven't been there since I was a child. But apparently, you know, Disney is not for children anymore. It's mostly for adults.
It's for people with a lot of money.
Who want to relive their childhood.
Yes.
I have never seen so many. When I was at Disneyland, I didn't see any children.
Fair enough.
Saw a bunch of older people. I saw a bunch of people that were, what's a polite way of saying this? So obese they had to drive around in carts wearing Mickey Mouse ears. That's what I saw. And they will run you over. I'm just telling you. I have a funny story to share about that. I'll have time. We were having breakfast at this massive, and that's where the children were, by the way. They showed up for this breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, got some peace and quiet, sitting there, enjoying some eggs. All of a sudden, the announcer says, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Chippendale Animal Review. And I thought, Chippendales at Disney? What's going on here?
No.
I didn't know what was about to happen. So all the children start screaming, and then out come all these big furry characters. And it was not Chippendale. It was Chip and Dale.
Yes.
Which are what? Are they squirrels?
Chipmunks.
They look like squirrels.
Yeah, I
didn't know which one was Chip and which one was Dale, and I wasn't about to look. It is very confusing. There is a way you can tell, but I don't want to get into that. So anyway.
I think they're both boys.
I was trying to mind my own, and you know how they do. They see the person who really doesn't want to engage, and they go after that person, and they make them engage.
Yeah, they're trying to make you, you know, get into the spirit.
So the next thing I know, they've got this furry creature, this squirrel, and the squirrel, Chip or Dale, I don't know who it was telling me to stand up and start dancing around, and I had to get my picture.
To see that.
Oh, it was horrible. I had to get my photograph made with this, beast.
Dang.
And then I don't know where the, and then they're like wanting to shake your hand. I'm like, I don't know where the paw has been.
They're just being friendly.
All that to say, you're going to be able to experience that 24 hours a day at one of these Disney residential areas.
Yeah, that'd be a little much for me.
Or are they going to let the Lion King just kind of prowl around? And,
hey, you don't have to worry about getting a security system.
Well, that's a good point. There is, I don't know. Would you actually move into one of those Disney-themed, I mean, like Disney 24/7?
I need more details. Probably not.
For the rest of your life. I mean, that's what they're saying here. By the way, Tim Van Horn, our regular fill-in here, says they're going to unleash the wildebeest and hyenas. For the older folks, it's just the circle of life. All right, stick around, everybody. No, I don't know. Chip is the guy, right? Or is it Dale? I don't know.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, broadcasting from our beautiful Liberty University studios. Great to have you with us for this hour of the program. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. You know, I have to give a great shout-out to the folks over in San Francisco. Even the liberals are sick and tired of this cancel culture mob. They are tired of their public schools being turned into indoctrination centers for far leftist causes. And yesterday, something incredible happened. Three school board members, including the president, vice president, and a sitting school board member, all removed from office. It is the first time in over 40 years that there has been a recall, a successful recall in San Francisco. And the parents are just fed up. Cut number two.
What's driving this recall is that the school board has not been prioritizing our children's education, instead focusing on renaming schools and closing merit-based admissions.
And Rob, you are a parent. Do you have a child in the San Francisco school district? And if so, what's that like?
Yeah, my kids are in go to Catholic school here in San Francisco. I have a high schooler and a junior high kid. Mm-hmm. This is a small town. There's only about 800,000 people in San Francisco. So everybody knows somebody with kids in public school. And it's a dumpster fire, honestly. I mean, the school board's focused on everything except reopening schools or on quality education. They're focused on renaming schools, using kids as subjects for their social experiments without facing any consequences themselves. It's a nightmare. I don't know anybody who supports the actions of this school.
All right. That again from Fox News Channel earlier this morning. You have moms and dads that are just really disgusted. I want to get our next guest to weigh in on this on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Congressman Pat Fallon from the great state of Texas. And, you know, Congressman, this is something that's happening all over America. I think what makes it unique is that even parents in far left San Francisco are fed up.
I mean, Sean,
Todd, you can't get any further left than San Francisco. They're left to Trotsky, and even they're sick and tired of the lie. And when you mix, as Joe Biden and the Democrats have done for the last year and a half, when you mix politics with medicine, you get two results. You get bad politics and bad medicine. The right's been fed up with it since its inception, and now the left is finally waking up, at least some of them, and they want to move on with their lives.
Yeah, and I'm, you know what, I salute those parents. Interestingly enough, it's the Asian American parents who really were at the forefront of this effort. I mean, they're just fed up with all of this nonsense, and they're making some big changes over there. So look, I mean, I don't think they're going to be voting Republican, but some of them might, and I think this is going to spell good news for your party as we move towards the midterm elections.
Well, yeah, you know what most parents want, regardless of ethnicity, as you know, is they want their children educated, and they want them to have a successful life, and they want them to pursue knowledge. It's not, schools aren't made for indoctrination. I mean, if they were, if you're in Stalinist Russia, but that's not what most American parents want. The overwhelming majority of American parents want. And we have seen indoctrination, and it's got to stop.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Congressman Pat Fallon from Texas. Congressman, you have introduced a bill that addresses the visa lottery and these diversity issues surrounding the visa lottery. Tell us what your bill is about.
Todd, I got to tell you, I love this bill, and I don't love it because it's ours. I love it because of what it does functionally. So what this does, it's the Alien Act, and we want to, number one, terminate the visa lottery system altogether. It was called the Diversity Immigration Visa Program, and we were bringing people over from countries that didn't have a lot of immigration to the United States. I don't know for what reason, because we didn't consider merit. When it's about 55,000 folks a year, by the way, get into the United States on this thing. There was no merit, there was no need considered, and there was no employment status considered. We should be taking the best and brightest of the world, period, full stop. Every single immigrant should be vetted. So it terminates that. It also imposes penalties for overstaying your visa. There's about 585,000 people just in FY 2020 that overstayed their visa. What our bill would do if it passed into law would fine somebody $1,000 a day when they overstay their visa, or they could face up to a year in jail. There'd be a 5-year ban on any legal reentry, a 10-year ban on removal relief, which would be asylum. You can't claim asylum for 10 years. A 15-year ban on even applying for legal status or a green card. And then lastly, if you overstay your visa twice, permanent ban for legal reentry in the United States. That's it.
At the same time, though, you've got Republicans that are still promoting amnesty and providing a pathway to citizenship to illegals who broke our laws by, you know, violating our American sovereignty in the first place. So thinking about Maria Salazar from down in Florida.
Well, we need to, you know, another thing this bill did too, Todd, is it prevents fraud, because there's a credible fear provision. So all these people, the 2 million illegal border crossings last year, they're told by leftist organizations, come to the United States and say credible fear. Say those two words. And one of the quote unquote credible fear bullet points, if you would, is they can just say that they belong or they have a membership into a particular social group, which is incredibly ambiguous. Justice Alito even said it's completely open-ended, and that bill would take this away as well. We can't focus on amnesty. What we need to be focusing on is doing what's, you know, putting America first and doing what's in the best interest of this country. There are almost 4 million people across the globe waiting to come to this country legally. And these are exactly the kind of people you want to consider, because they're respecting the laws and the rules of the country that they want to become a part of. I'm rooting for those folks. I'm not rooting for anyone that cuts the line illegally.
Now, Congressman, I know that you've been paying very close attention to the Durham findings that have come out in this court paper that was filed. Who needs to go to jail here? I mean, they're starting to name who needs to go to jail.
Well, I think we start with, you know, we're innocent until proven guilty, but it seems very likely that Michael Sussman, who was a Clinton campaign lawyer, he lied. He's being charged anyway with lying to the feds. He claimed that he wasn't working for any clients when he was literally in the pay of the Clinton campaign. There's also the FBI lawyer, what's his name, Kevin Kleinsmith. He's charged with lying to the FBI. And his lies, if he, you know, his alleged lies at this point, but if he truly did lie, that led to a FISA surveillance weren't going out. So this could be, and it could go all the way to Hillary Clinton. We don't know enough yet. We don't know. And the mainstream media is absolutely, it's a dereliction of duty. They have proven again that they are not journalists digging for the truth and challenging power. They are merely a public relations wing of the Democratic Party.
You see, I think Hillary Clinton needs to start packing her bags, grabbing the toothbrush, because I suspect when it's all said and done, Congressman, they're going to be coming after her.
Well, we're going to find out. That's why elections have consequences. And Todd, November's 9 months away. And if the Republicans, if we get back one or both chambers, there will be hearings. And all I want with any hearing is just to get to the truth. I don't want any witch hunts, and I don't want any political persecution. And I just want to know the truth. Get people under oath and ask them tough questions. Because I doubt Hillary Clinton's underlings, or at least former underlings, are going to want to spend time in jail to lie for her.
It's a fair point, and who knows? We might see her in an orange polyester pantsuit before it's all said and done.
That might be her color. That might be her best color.
Oh, my goodness. But you know, more than anything else, Congressman, as crazy as this is, and I know it just drives the left nuts, this Durham's report actually has proven President Trump right yet again.
Yes. Yes. They were saying it was conspiracy theory. And they have, you know, we know they're afflicted with Trump derangement syndrome, but they were making the former president out to be, you know, nuts and paranoid and this and that. No, he was living within the bounds of reality. He was the only one that seemingly knew the truth. And they were the one they were propagating a conspiracy theory that he was just trying to deflect blame. The Russian hoax, the dossier, everything was false. There was just a bed of lies being spread by vipers and jackals, and now we're getting closer to the truth.
Mm. All right. Oh, by the way, we had Governor Huckabee on earlier in the show, and, you know, yesterday we had the president talking about, telling that weird story about how he put the dead dog on the lady's front porch.
No world.
And as a matter of fact, let's play this audio for the congressman. This is President Biden yesterday.
I got a call one night. A woman said to me, obviously not of the same persuasion as I was politically, called me and said, there's a dead dog on my lawn. And I said, yes, ma'am. I said, have you called the county? He said, yes, they're not here. And I said, well, I'll get him in the morning. She said, I want it removed now. I pay your salary. So I went over. I picked it up. She said, I want it out of my front yard. I put it on her doorstep.
Well, it turns out, Congressman, that story is made up. They've been telling that story for years.
Of course. I mean, does Joe Biden know the truth? Does he even remember his middle name at this point? I mean, that's just, you can't believe a word the guy says. And then they double down. And this is just indicative of this administration. It's been inept. And even, you know, Todd, Democrats privately will tell us in the House that this administration is idle. They're doing nothing, and they're ashamed of it as well. They won't quite go on. They don't have the political courage to say that publicly. But we all know what's going on here. We don't know who's running the White House, but we know he's.
So they're telling you privately that they're ashamed of President Biden.
Yeah, his performance is just, it's idle. They don't do anything. They say, like, remember the cyber attacks, you know, JVS got hit, and then the Colonial Pipeline got hit. And this administration, they just used words. I mean, we filed a bill that would have increase the penalties for anybody that we could catch with, you know, doing this kind of attacks on our critical infrastructure. It'd be difficult to catch them. But we also had inside the bill, it would also sanction governments to protect them, maybe deny visas, seize assets, things of that nature, and define that a virtual attack is the same thing as a physical attack on our critical infrastructure. That was a bipartisan bill. It should have passed. They did nothing with it, and they did nothing of the kind. It defies explanation. I don't know what they
all mean. Right. Well, that makes me feel just a smidge better about the Democrats. At least they recognize what we all see to be true. Congressman, we're going to leave it there. Always appreciate the great work you're doing up on Capitol Hill.
Todd Starnes, you are a great American, sir, and you keep on doing God's work here on Earth.
All right. That's Pat Fallon, everybody, from the great state of Texas. I like that guy. Doing a great job up there. Hey, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868.
It's Radio Free America.
Tom
Todd Starnes.
Family dinners were the first thing I was homesick for when I moved out. The warmth of laughter, the smell of Dad's pork roast filling the house. Dad's pork roast. There's nothing quite as comforting as the smell of home-cooked meals. That's why I learned to make my dad's recipes. Now, this house is finally starting to smell like home.
Good food, good traditions, one great meal. Come together with Swift.
So yesterday, I told you about this guy, a disciple of Barack Hussein Obama, 21-year-old black dude. He's also a Black Lives Matter activist, and he went over to a candidate's headquarters, campaign office, Craig Greenberg, who's running for mayor. He is a Jewish Democrat. So you had this Black Lives Matter protester walk into the guy's campaign office with a gun ablazing. Greenberg's lucky he was not injured. One of the bullets went through a sweater, came pretty close. But fortunately, thank goodness, he's okay. And as we told you at the time, when this story first broke out, it was wall-to-wall coverage because everybody thought, this is one of those Trump supporters. This is a Make America Great Again crowd. But it turned out to be a Bubba Wallace / Juicy Smollett moment, because it turned out not to be that. It turned out to be something else. It turns out this guy is a black nationalist. And the narrative, the true story here, is that you had a black nationalist, a Black Lives Matter activist, trying to assassinate a Jewish Democrat. But instead of covering the story, when the truth came out, they immediately dropped this story, just like they dropped the Waukesha, Wisconsin Christmas attack. Remember that one? The mainstream media pretends like that never even happened, where you had so many people killed, dozens and dozens of people wounded, when a black guy, a black nationalist, tried to take out as many white people as he could at this Christmas parade. But the mainstream media's narrative, it cannot be toyed with. And that's why they did not cover that. So I just want to illustrate for you what we're dealing with. So now we all know that the guy who tried to assassinate the white Jewish Democrat was, in fact, a Black Lives Matter activist, right? Okay. This is today's editorial from the Las Vegas Sun newspaper. A terrifying incident in Louisville, Kentucky this week revealed the dangers of the talk coming from the right about civil war and political violence. Okay, this guy is not a conservative. Apparently, according to the Las Vegas Sun, if you are a Black Lives Matter supporter, that somehow makes you a right-wing terrorist. Wrong. Not true. They know what the truth is, but they want you to be confused. Now, I suspect there are some people, if anybody actually still subscribes to this piece of garbage newspaper, that will actually believe this, because they're not well-read. Fortunately, our audience, you guys, are well-read. When we talk about the big issues of the day, you're already there because you've been reading up on these stories. So you know what really happened in Louisville, Kentucky. But if you don't listen to talk radio, well, you're just not as intelligent as the rest of the country. That's why I brag on you guys all the time. I mean, we really do have one of the smartest, if not the smartest, audience in talk radio, because you guys are well read, and that's one of the things we've been talking about from day one, is that we don't want you to just take our word for it. Don't take my word for it. I'm never going to lead you astray, but sometimes I may make a mistake. It's always important to double check and to make sure that, you know, you've got all the facts that you need to have. So anyway, this is the narrative, though, is A, they will not cover the story, or B, they will intentionally deceive you about the narrative of the story. That's what's really going on here. All right, folks, we've got to take a break. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. Don't be surprised by this. You know, but we're going to call them out. We'll do it every single time, America. All right, folks, coming up, we are hitting the road. We'll be broadcasting live from CPAC. I'll be speaking there next Saturday. Then off to California. I'll be speaking at the Reagan Ranch with our good friends over at Young America's Foundation. And we always appreciate the opportunity to speak to young people, especially young conservatives. And we'll have a good time out there in beautiful Santa Barbara. Grace and Kyle are going to be tagging along on the CPAC trip, not the California trip. But sorry, Grace. It is what it is. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Always a pleasure to say hello to my senator. I like calling you my senator, Senator Bill Hagerty. Good to have you with us.
Well, I like calling you my friend and fellow Tennessean, Todd. It's good to be with you, and I'm looking forward to being with you at CPAC as well.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Great lineup, by the way. And it's always, I don't know about you, but I just find it encouraging to be around, you know, conservatives from all over the country.
Yes, there's great energy about what's happening around CPAC right now, too, because I think people are beginning to realize how precious liberty is when they see us deprived from our own liberties every day by the Biden administration.
Well, and that's been the narrative from day one, and that's one of the reasons I'm very, very hopeful that the Republicans are going to be able to take back control of the House and the Senate in the fall. How are things looking out there in these early stages?
Todd, I'm very optimistic. I just went through polling numbers over the weekend, and the House and the Senate both look like they're ready to turn. Biden's approval ratings in the tank, and he's taking the Democrat Party down with him. We've not only got seats to defend, but we've got seats that are vulnerable, and the map is expanding for us in the Senate right now. I couldn't be, you know, more optimistic that we're going to take control of the Senate, that we'll take control of the House, and we'll be able to suddenly bring to a halt some of the craziness that's going on and begin to apply real oversight to the Biden administration, which is literally just running out of control right now.
Senator, I want to get to Ukraine. Before we do that, I know a couple of hours ago you posted some concerns you have about the Iran nuclear deal and the Biden administration and the Senator Inhofe saying, translation here, the Biden administration's ready to give away the farm. What's going on?
You know, the whole situation with the Iran deal is just heartbreaking to me. I worked, as you know, Todd, before coming into the Senate as U.S. ambassador to Japan. I worked my heart out for months to get the Japanese government to stop buying Iranian crude oil. That's what the Biden administration cleverly calls a secondary sanction that's, quote, inconsistent with the JCPOA, the Iran deal, that they want to stop enforcing that. They've said that they would stop enforcing that. What those secondary sanctions did is we took the hard currency, foreign currency reserves that Iran had access to back in 2018 when we began this process. We took them from over $120 billion down to less than 10 in 2020. Now they're going right back up again because the Biden administration is looking the other way. They're north of 30. They're climbing even higher, and the Biden administration is wondering why Iran's not negotiating. It's because they're getting what they want already. They're doing backflips trying to appease, and it's an embarrassment because Iran won't even let the Americans at the table. What they're doing, I guess, is peeping through the keyhole while you've got Russia, China, France negotiating on their behalf. It's a downright embarrassment. Again, I think it really is incredible that they're back at the table again trying to deal with the regime that we know will not tell the truth, that the greatest state sponsors of terror on the planet, and here they are trying to assume that they're going to change their ways if they could just come back to this deal that was flawed in the first place.
I mean, it really is same story, different country, whether it's this administration dealing with China, whether they're dealing with Russia, and, of course, now with Iran. But what concerns me, Senator, and I know it sounds like something out of a Joel Rosenberg novel, but, I mean, you could stumble, Biden could stumble his way into a world war where you could have China going after Taiwan, Iran going after Israel, and then Russia and the United States in a shooting war over Ukraine. I mean, that is, it doesn't sound terribly far-fetched with what you've been telling us.
No, and it all comes from a projection of weakness. You know, as much criticism as President Trump received, President Trump had all of these situations in check. None of this would have happened under President Trump's leadership, and now all of it is happening under Joe Biden. The aspects of this vary by country, but I think the greatest issue of all is what happened in Afghanistan. The collapse of Afghanistan caused the rest of the world to wake up and realize that this administration has lost its resolve. There is a weak leader in charge of America right now, and it's incredibly difficult to navigate with that sort of backdrop. If you take the Russia situation specifically, look at Biden's own policies. He comes into office, and the very first day, kills the Keystone XL pipeline and essentially wages war on the domestic oil and gas industry here. He's after fossil fuels. What does that do? It causes energy prices to go up around the world. Well, who is the second largest producer of energy in the world? Russia. The windfall that's come to Vladimir Putin is probably paying for all of his malign activity right now. That's the result of the type of short-sighted policies that the Biden administration is implementing, and it's making us weaker as a nation and more vulnerable worldwide.
On that note, what is going on in Ukraine? We heard the reports that Russia was pulling back some of its troops on the border. It seems as though President Biden's been the one who has, you know, been beating the war drums here more so than anybody else.
Well, Todd, I think what we saw is just a repositioning of troops at the border. They weren't pulling back. That was a repositioning that was taking place. I think what the Biden administration may be trying to do by beating the drums and saying that Russia is going to invade it, they're trying to deflate Russia's attempt to suggest that they had to step in to protect Russian-speaking Ukrainians. I think that perhaps is what the Biden administration is trying to do. Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, has been saying the same thing. But I think they've been very worried that the Russians are going to try to create some sort of, you know, propaganda to make it seem that there's some incident that they're going to come to ride to this to the salvation of those that are being oppressed in Ukraine. That's not the case. And perhaps that's the reason we're hearing this both from the Biden administration as well as from the Ukrainian president.
Is the administration keeping you guys up to date on what's happening there and their movements as well?
Yes, they are. It's extremely concerning to all of us, but they're going to need our support. I serve on the Appropriations Committee here, and I serve on the Foreign Relations Committee. We need to be kept up to date, and we don't have the minute-by-minute input that I wish we had, but we're keeping fairly close tabs on what's happening over there. Again, I couldn't be more frustrated with how we got to this point. I'm ready to impose sanctions months ago, weeks ago, today. The Biden administration and the Democrats here in the Senate do not want to do that. What I'd like to do is get past words. I think the world has had enough of Joe Biden's tough talk. We need to show our resolve. We need to actually give Vladimir Putin a taste of what may come. And by imposing sanctions today, we could do that. But there seems to be no appetite amongst the Democrats to make that happen. And again, a posture of weakness, a posture of tough talk is not something Vladimir Putin's going to listen to.
Well, it's this is a dangerous situation and one that we've all got to pay close attention to. And again, the challenge here is if they in fact do invade, Poland shares a border with Ukraine, Senator, and then it becomes very, very concerning.
I tell you it does, because what happens, Todd, if this goes beyond Ukraine, if it actually goes into NATO countries, if Article 5 is triggered under NATO, we have an obligation to step up and defend our allies. Biden is in a very difficult political situation here domestically because he's proven he's unwilling to defend our own border at the south, yet he's going to be required to come in and defend another nation's border under NATO. He is looking at a very difficult political situation. He's looking at a national security situation none of us want to confront. But He has ignored the situation at our southern border for so long. He's created the greatest national security crisis, I feel, that our country has encountered domestically in my lifetime. He's ignored it, and now he's going to be in a very difficult situation if he's suddenly called to task on a treaty that he's obligated to defend.
All right, Senator, we're going to have to leave it there. Always good having you on the show. And
Likewise, Todd.
We've got to grab a meal when you're in Memphis.
I look forward to that. Some rendezvous ribs would be great.
There you are. All right, Senator, thank you very much. Bill Hagerty, ladies and gentlemen, the great senator from the Volunteer State. Grace, why is everybody talking about Rendezvous?
Because it's the tourist spot.
Stop.
That's what everybody
right,
knows.
We got to
give them good branding.
I didn't want to correct the senator. Nah, I couldn't do it.
Not today.
We've got it. Folks, if you're coming to Memphis, Tennessee, reach out to me. Reach out to Grace. And we will get you set straight. You can also reach out to Kyle, but he likes the more, he's the foodie of the bunch. You know, I guess he likes barbecue.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
of course he does.
But he's like, he's all about the high-end restaurants.
Dang.
Well, no,
fancy
you know.
Pants?
No, well, we went to this place called, in all fairness, I'll just throw this out there. When you hear the words hog and hominy, what do you think of?
Southern eating.
I'm thinking good old Southern. I'm going to be eating some pulled pork or maybe some pork chops and some hominy. And so that's the name of the restaurant, Hog and Hominy. Mm-hmm. And so we went to, Kyle took us all out there. It was a beautiful meal, great time. And they brought the appetizer, something called sweet breads, which has nothing to do with bread and has nothing to do with jam. It's,
really?
Yeah, it's the pancreas of the
oh, cat. My.
Yeah. So, but it's barbecued.
Okay.
And, but the pizza, they had these pizzas, which were sort of like off-kilter pizzas. I will say the one I had was very good. It was a pepperoni pizza, and they smeared or drizzled honey on the pepperoni pizza.
Ah.
So that's what I'm trying to say is he knows all the cool, funky, hip restaurants that are out there in Memphis. And then I'm the barbecue guy. So if you're looking for a meat and three, you're looking for a barbecue joint, come and talk to me.
Yep.
All right. You know what? We're going to take Doris's call. She has been holding on forever, and then we'll go to a break here. Doris from Gainesville, Georgia, WDUN. Doris, hope you're doing good today.
I'm doing wonderful. Beautiful weather here.
Well, it's pretty nice over on this side of the stadium. We're sending our weather your way.
Well, good. It's going to rain tomorrow, but we can use it.
Indeed, indeed. All right, Doris, what's going on? What's on your mind?
I told the girl to answer the phone. Maybe Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton will be in prison at the same time, but not together. But they need to get on with the show about Bill Clinton, too, molesting all them little teenage girls, and that you don't even hear nothing about it now. And he's always been a whore hopper.
Oh.
When he was governor in a state, they used to block the park that he would go to while he went in there and had his rendezvous with women. Did you know that?
I did not know that. No, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I didn't.
He's always been that way.
Well, I knew
Clinton.
Yeah, I knew he was a womanizer, but you called him a whore hopper. Is that what you called him?
Yeah, that's what he is.
Wow, I've never heard that term before.
Oh, yeah. Out here hopping around everywhere.
Oh, well, that does make sense.
And I don't have any use for either one of them. Hillary Clinton called the Republicans deplorables. You remember that?
Oh, I wrote a book about that. A basket of irredeemable deplorables.
Yeah. She hadn't got a heart at all. They're both of the devil, I fully believe. And Obama is running the White House now. He's telling Biden what to do. And he started all this was it Iran? He started all that bums and all that, and they even gave him some property down there.
Gave him some cash.
And now he's back in the White House, and they've started it back up. But it was stopped, but now he's starting it up again.
Well, I'm with you, Doris. I think that if there really is justice in America, that both Hillary and Bill would be behind bars. And let's just see how this plays out. But this Epstein story, and that's what you're talking about, is the Jeffrey Epstein story, where Bill Clinton traveled around, hung around, palled around with Epstein and all of these underage models. There's all sorts of debauchery going on. And here's my take on that real quick. if he was bold enough to do what he did to Monica Lewinsky in the Oval Office, then I believe he is capable of doing what has been alleged on that airplane and the private island. So
I would watch him around his own daughter. I wouldn't be a bit surprised with him.
Oh, my.
He's this scum.
Well, Doris, you sound like a good church-going lady.
Church, and I've been saved, and I know I'm going to heaven, and I hope everybody's getting ready to go, too, because it's not going to be long.
That's true.
Time's just pointing to it.
Yes, indeedy. All right,
Doris. You don't hear nobody talking about Jesus now in heaven.
That's true. Doris,
you have a good day.
You have a lovely day, and what a great lady. I have never learned that. I've never heard of that word before, whorehopper. But, hey, Kyle, what's that lady that answers the phones? Grace!
Hey.
Did you tell her your name?
Yes, I always say, this is Grace.
How do you do that? So somebody calls up here. Yeah. What do you say?
Hi, this is Grace with the Todd Starn Show. Who am I speaking to?
So, well, that seems very nice.
That's literally what I say every time.
I had a call screener once, and I used to get complaints. This was great. They would pick up the phone. It's like, Todd Starn Show, speak now. What do you want to talk about?
Emails about me saying
I'm
not
talking
nice.
We're not talking about that, click.
Dang.
I get these calls. Todd, this is your Aunt Lynn. I was hung up on today on your show. I'm like, well, sorry, Aunt Lynn.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not that ruthless.
All right. Well, there you go. Whorehopper, that must be a Georgia word. But I could tell she was a church-going lady.
Yes.
I like Doris.
Yes.
All right. Folks, got to take a break. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starn Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
Veronica writes in, Todd, there's a difference between squirrels and chipmunks. Thank you, Veronica. We also had someone send in a definition of whorehopper. And I want to go to the phones. Michelle is on the line from North Carolina, the talk station. And North Carolina, Michelle, I understand they use that term over in North Carolina, too.
Well, I don't know about North Carolina because I'm originally from West Virginia, but we use it in West Virginia.
I see. And is that in common? Is that like?
I just thought you might want to know that, you know.
Michelle, you just never know where the show's going to go, do you?
No, that's for sure.
So is this like one of these things you're at church, Wednesday night prayer meeting, and you have, you know, we need to pray for Darlene because her daughter is a whorehopper, or I'm trying to figure out the correct way to use it in a sentence.
Well, it basically just, you know, for a man that goes from woman to woman.
Oh,
you know?
I got that. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what we call him.
Put Deacon Jones on the prayer list. He's oh boy, wow. Well, that's good to know. You know, this is why I love growing up in the South. I loved growing up in the South because we have such a colorful language down here.
Oh, don't we, Doug?
And you got to laugh. You really have to laugh. So, well, Michelle, we've got to wrap this up because we're coming up on the top of the hour news. So, God bless you, and hope you enjoy North Carolina. So we've learned that Chip and Dale were in fact male chipmunks, Grace Baker. That's what we're being told. Who were just unusually close to each other.
They're brothers.
Like, sort of like, are they brothers?
Yes.
Nobody told me that.
You don't see the resemblance.
So it's not like Ernie and Bert from Sesame Street. Not that we're judging. We don't judge. And we learned that Bill Clinton may or may not have been a whorehopper. So there. There you go. Have a great day, America. Hey, we're going to do this all over again tomorrow, and we may even throw in a trivia question. Be good, America.